Can you hear me now? The FAA eyes a new national voice system. X-Corp selects its cockpit contractor, and Boeing opens a third Dreamliner production line. This is Aero News for Thursday, August 30th, 2012. I'm Glenn Moyer. The FAA has selected Harris Corporation of Melbourne, Florida, to support an essential element of NextGen. The program is called the National Airspace System Voice System, or NVS. NVS replaces the 40-year-old legacy voice switches with a modern and flexible operational voice capability. NVS supports ground-to-ground voice communications between air traffic controllers and air-to-ground voice communications between controllers and aircraft. The FAA will deploy NVS in air traffic control towers, terminal and in-route facilities, and future next-gen air traffic control facilities. NVS will take advantage of modern router-based telecommunications technologies that enable the FAA to transition to a national airspace-wide networked system. The current legacy voice switches operate independently at individual facilities, and some have been in place since the early 1980s. NVS, meanwhile, will support airspace redesign, dynamic resectorization and offloading, and business continuity planning to protect against a loss of communications at air traffic control facilities. With the implementation of NVS, the FAA will have enhanced visibility and control over communications resources and will be able to manage them as a unified system versus individual platforms. X-Corp Aerospace announced on Tuesday that the Lynx Mark 1 Suborbital Reusable Launch Vehicle, RLV, carbon fiber cockpit will be manufactured by Atom Works of Centennial, Colorado. The Lynx Mark 1 is the prototype of the Lynx family of suborbital RLVs from X-Corp Aerospace. The Lynx suborbital vehicles will seat an astronaut pilot and a spaceflight participant, or an astronaut pilot and a large scientific payload. The Lynx Mark II is available for wet lease domestically and abroad in the free world by emerging space lines, private operators, and sovereign countries wishing to have their own manned spaceflight program for less than the cost of a traditional high-end business jet. The Lynx cockpit has been designed by X-Corp to rigorous design standards as a comfortable, roomy, and safe pressurized vessel capable of tens of thousands of flights to and from suborbital altitudes, exceeding 100 kilometers. AtomWorks was selected after a thorough competitive selection process that emphasized past experience, ability to manufacture complex carbon fiber structures used in safety-critical pressurized applications, schedule, and value. A total of six firms are planning to build commercial space vehicles, and three of those six companies designing and building commercial space vehicles are working with AtomWorks. With some 800 Dreamliners on the order books, Boeing has opened a temporary assembly line for the composite airliners at its Everett, Washington plant. The line is the second producing the airplane in the Puget Sound area and the third for the company overall. On his blog, Boeing Commercial Airplane Marketing VP Randy Tinseth said the, quote, surge line, quote, will allow Boeing to roll 10 Dreamliners a month out the doors by the end of next year. It is currently averaging 3.5 planes per month. He also said that it will help facilitate the introduction of the larger 787-9 into production next year. The third Dreamliner production line is already up and running, and that's in North Charleston, South Carolina. Waco Classic Aircraft is making progress on its first Great Lakes biplane airframe, as well as the first airplane ordered by a customer. The company says the project is moving into high gear with nearly all vendors online, all of the engineering updates approved, and drawing updates mostly complete. Approximately 90% of all component parts for the first several aircraft are in stock, with the balance on order or in design review. The standard airplane will be powered by a 180-horsepower Lycoming four-cylinder, horizontally opposed, air-cooled piston engine turning a Hartzell aerobatic constant prop. It will have inverted fuel and oil systems. Max cruise speed is projected to be about 105 knots, with a stall speed of 50 knots. The airplane will climb at 1,400 feet per minute, has a service ceiling of 17,000 feet, and a projected range of 260 nautical miles. In the cockpit, Waco plans to install the Garmin Era 500 WAS GPS moving map in a panel dock. Out the door with standard equipment, The price has been set at $245,250. U.S. Airways and AMR Corporation, the parent of American Airlines, have reportedly signed a non-disclosure agreement that prevents the two companies' pilots' unions from discussing a potential merger. In a letter sent to the membership of the U.S. APA by its president, Scott Kirby, the pilots were informed that the NDA, quote, prohibits U.S. Airways from negotiating with unions at AMR and U.S. Airways over terms and conditions related to a potential merger between the two companies, end quote. According to a report in the Dallas Morning News, the agreement allows the sides to swap information considered confidential, but no negotiations may occur while the NDA remains in effect, and the terms of the MOU between USAPA and U.S. Airways cannot be clarified or changed. The two unions had scheduled negotiations this week in Dallas. Those meetings have now been canceled. No date has been set to resume the talks. A single NIMBY forces the relocation of a medevac helo. The dangers of World War II are still among us. And what? No Tang? These stories are coming up when Aero News continues.
Diamond Aircraft's D-Jet is the ultimate private aircraft for the owner-flown market, offering simplicity of operation, safety, and affordability. Imagine starting the turbine with a simple push of a button. Push the single lever throttle forward. Monitor your flight on the cutting-edge G1000 with integrated autopilot and enjoy the reliability, performance, smoothness, and quiet of turbine power. Visit Diamond on the web at www.diamondair.com or call 888-359-3222.
Aero News continues now for Thursday, August 30th. I'm Glenn Moyer. After a year of operations flying critically injured and ill patients to and from Ashley Regional Medical Center in Vernal, Utah, a single person's complaints to the FAA has forced an air ambulance company to relocate its aircraft to Vernal Regional Airport, about 2 miles from the hospital. Tony Henderson, president of Classic Aviation of Woods Cross, Utah, which operates Classic Lifeguard Air Ambulance Service in three states, said they've not been told they can't use the helipad at the hospital, but the FAA made a, quote, strong recommendation, end quote, that they not base the aircraft on the campus. Henderson told the Deseret News that the crew for the helo is located across the street from the helipad, making it easy for them to quickly prep both the aircraft and a patient and be airborne. Moving the aircraft 2 miles away to the airport means the crew has to drive to the airport, prep the helicopter, fly back to the hospital before a patient can be transported. Henderson said that it appeared that a single person living near the hospital complained often enough to the FAA that the agency finally made the recommendation to move. While Henderson said the complaints were more about noise, the person who contacted the FAA told the paper that his concerns were more about safety. He said that the helipad's location in a residential neighborhood with mature trees was a problem, and that other medical helicopters had been forced to land behind the hospital because of the one sitting idle on the helipad. The man said he would not give his name for fear of reprisals. Workers discovered a live bomb left over from World War II during an excavation operation at Amsterdam Schiphol Airport Wednesday, causing flights to be delayed and canceled at Europe's fifth-largest airport. The French news service AFP reports that the bomb was uncovered about 0800 local time, and its World War II origin was confirmed by airport spokeswoman Antoinette Spans. She said some flights had been canceled and dozens of others had been delayed. One of the airport's terminals was evacuated as a precaution while the device was dismantled. The Dutch media reports that Schiphol was bombed twice during the war, once by the Germans early in the war, and later by the Allies. Unexploded bombs and mines are reportedly found fairly regularly in the region by fishing trawlers and farmers when they plow. A World War II mine exploded on the deck of a Dutch fishing trawler in 2005 after it was caught in a net and brought on board, killing three fishermen. Air Force Modular Airborne Firefighting System-equipped C-130s reached a major mission milestone August 24th by dropping the 2 millionth gallon of retardant for the season. MAFS 5, assigned to the Air Force Reserve Command's 302nd Airlift Wing, dropped the record-breaking gallon during its third sortie of the day, battling the Halstead Fire north of Stanley, Idaho. The same day, the Wyoming National Guard's 53rd Airlift Wing also provided aerial firefighting support to the Halstead Fire, and additional MAFS-equipped C-130s flew in support of firefighting efforts in California and Oregon. Well, a year ago, the Canadian Space Agency, CSA, invited Canadians to suggest their favorite regional foods as part of the, quote, Canadian Snacks for Space, end quote, contest. Wednesday, CSA announced the Canadian foods and names of the winners, who will have their treats flown to the International Space Station to be included on Canadian astronaut Chris Hadfield's menu. 150 entries were received from participants across the country, including Newfoundland and Labrador, Prince Edward Island, Quebec, Ontario, Saskatchewan, Alberta, and British Columbia. Of those entries, 39 Canadians suggested the same 12 Canadian foods that were selected. A drawing was done to pick one name for each food item. The 12 winners will receive Expedition 3435 memorabilia and a signed photograph of astronaut Hadfield. Just like on Earth, astronauts eat 3 meals a day and have 1 or 2 snacks daily. During Expedition 3435, Hadfield's Canadian snacks will include candied wild smoked salmon, smoked salmon pâté, cranberry buffalo sticks, cereal, dried apple chunks, fruit bars, green tea cookies with orange zest, maple syrup cookies, organic chocolate, honey drops, chocolate bars, and maple syrup. Such a travesty. Where's the tang? Of course, my favorite space food is the freeze-dried ice cream they sell at the gift shop of the National Air and Space Museum. Melts in your mouth and you don't even have to go to space to get it. Thanks for listening. And by the way, we're reporting today directly in the path of Sir Isaac. And so, storm permitting, we hope to be back with you tomorrow to wrap up the week. I'm Glenn Moyer. You're now cleared for departure.